Great.
Well, hi everyone. I'm Rivka. I'm a grateful sex and love addict.
Hey, Rivka.
It blows my mind that I'm able to sit in front of y'all and say I'm a grateful sex and love addict. When I first came into the rooms and I would hear people say that, I would be like, you're lying about the grateful part. But I actually am really deeply grateful that I found this program 6.5 years ago. I'll talk a little bit about what it was like, because there's a lot of first-time attendees here, which, like, welcome. You never have to say this is your first slaw meeting ever again. And I think that's really cool. What it was like for me was I'm just an addictive personality, but my first real addiction was validation. I like to blame that on the fact that I'm a Leo, but I also think it's because I was the eldest daughter in a pretty codependent family. My parents put me on a pedestal super young. I think I was like their little star child, and that also put a lot of pressure on me to overperform. And I was also like thrust into the entertainment industry at a super young age. So yeah, just this idea that I was this machine, this employee, this object from the age of 10, like not great for a woman's self-esteem. And when things started picking up, I started drinking when I was like 11. And I wasn't like an alcoholic when I was 11, but I, you know, the first time I had alcohol, it like unzipped me. It allowed me to kind of just like walk around and like be cool with myself. I'll never forget the like first sip of alcohol that I ever had was like this like champagne at this fancy like party, and just going into the bathroom after chugging like a little flute of champagne and looking at myself in the mirror and being like, you're cool, you're good. And being able to have fun and not be so in my head about like, does everybody like me? And am I being good? And when I started feeling attraction towards people, boys, girls, everyone in between, I would feel what is... the word is limerence, and if you don't know what that means, it's like just like deep infatuation and like almost like involuntary obsession, where a person takes up, I would say, like all of the space in your brain or your heart, and all you can think about is the next time you're going to see that person, the next time that person is going to talk to you, pay you any attention, even if they don't know who you are, or if you even had like one interaction with them, and then you just like fixate on that. And I had those types of obsessions with people. It started with like my girlfriends in school. I would like experience like just deep depression as like a teenager, like when I would get into fights with my like platonic, you know, friends, and breakups would just like knock me out. It was like the worst hangover I ever felt. I would stay home from school like after a breakup. And then when I went to college, I came out as queer and started dating a bunch of people, and then I got into a serious relationship, as serious as it can be your freshman year of college in a theater program. I ended up, you know, all of my addictions started to like build and build and build, and at first it was fun, and then it was fun with problems, and then it started just being only mostly problems. And on a drunken night, I cheated on my boyfriend. And when I confessed that, he broke up with me, rightfully so, and then I attempted to kill myself. Had a cute little 5150 over Labor Day weekend of my sophomore year of college. And the therapist that I was, you know, then sent to after that psych ward stay told me that I might have just an addictive personality, that I might be an alcoholic, that I might be a drug addict. And I was just like, but I'm too young and pretty to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. And I kind of just was like, all right, and didn't take the suggestions of sobriety and of checking out meetings and stuff. And I just continued to like try to drive the car of my life and take matters into my hands. Because it was obviously going so well. And over the course of, like from the time I had that near death experience through 2017, I was a full blown life addict, like just everything, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. My booze bone is connected to my sex bone, which is why I talk about this in, you know, this program. I know this is not an AA meeting, but I feel like the drugs and alcohol fuel the sex and love stuff and vice versa. And it got to a point where I couldn't stop cheating. Every time I was in a relationship with somebody, I could not cheat. If I was dating a boy, I was cheating on them with girls. If I was dating a girl, I was cheating on them with boys. I was also really, I had a knack for like dating married people or people with girlfriends and being the mistress. There was this sense of power that I felt from being the mistress. And I just remember waking up one day hungover as fuck after a like crazy night with one of my big qualifiers, who was like this guy who had a girlfriend and seven side chicks, and we all knew each other, and my whole thing was like, well, I think I'm the favorite side chick, so that's okay, I'm gonna stay with this guy. And I just remember waking up and looking in the mirror and going, I don't even know you anymore. I don't even know that girl. In my blackouts, I would like leave myself little post-it notes. And sometimes they'd be like, there's a burrito in the fridge, or like, your cigarettes are in Claire's car. But then I just started waking up to ones that were like, you need help. And I think that was my soul like talking to me, trying to just like reach me. But I ignored it. I was just like, that's weird, kind of silly. but there was this moment of looking in the mirror and just seeing like almost like death in my eyes, and just seeing emptiness in my eyes, and saying, I don't even know this girl anymore. I had such high aspirations for myself, you know, to be this successful artist, and I thought I could. I thought that drugs and sex are a part of being a successful artist, but I could not be a successful artist while in active addiction. And it hit me in that moment that I needed help. And I don't think I got on my knees necessarily, but I did, like, I had this moment of surrender. I remember just like bracing myself so as not to what I wanted to do, which was smash my head into the mirror. But just looking at myself and forcing myself to look at this person, that this shell of a person that I had become. I was severely underweight. I was not eating. I was barely sleeping. And I just remember looking in the mirror and saying, baby, like, you need help. Go get some help. And then I turned kind of outward and it was like, anyone, like, if you're out there, help. Something, help. And then the next day, I got a job offer that removed me from the city I was living in, which at the time was Chicago, which is a great place to like blackout in. I got this job out here, and I was just like, oh, LA is where I'm gonna be really healthy. I'm gonna thrive in LA. I think I'm gonna go on hikes and be vegan and not drink anymore. And when I got here for the first month, I did the complete opposite. I, you know, the drugs out here were kind of better and like stronger. The people were sexier and like shadier, like and like more married men, like fabulous. And I had a month-long bender when I first moved out here. came to in like the hair and makeup chair, and this girl that was sitting in the trailer was like, oh, I don't really drink because it shows up on camera. And that was like my moment of like, oh, fuck. And that was like around the day that I had my last drink. Is that 5 minutes?
You have 5 minutes left.
Okay, great. I had my last drink on December 6th, 2017. And then and stopped doing drugs on that day too. And then like for 3 months, I was a dry drunk and I was a full blown sex addict. Like, cause I was just like trying to fill the void that alcohol like used to fill with as many people as possible. And ended up in a throuple because I thought polyamory would be a good idea. And the man in the throuple ended up getting hella like resentful and jealous of me and threatening my life. And I was just like, okay, this is bad. I had heard about this program from a TV show called Love, and I had related so hard to the like main character protagonist of that show that I was just like, this character goes to SLA, so I'm gonna go to SLA. And when I came in here and heard those characteristics for the first time, read those, there's a pamphlet that has the 40 questions for self-diagnosis, and I was just like, I checked off every single one. And then I did the anorexia pamphlet, and I checked off a lot of those too. I just, this program, all of the literature, my like basic text for this program is underline, 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 because my sponsor had me like go in and underline everything that I relate to. I'm all over those pages. I'm all over those characteristics. Especially that last one, and this is on the topic of fantasy and intrigue, is that I assign magical qualities to people, places, and things. I assign magical qualities to jobs too, and to substances, and to like lifestyle habits, and to Erewhon. I'm like, Erewhon membership, that's the thing that's gonna make me sane and better, and a successful actress. but it turns out that, and I was looking at my big book of AA earlier, and when I read that for this program, I replace drinking with thinking because this is a disease in here. My mind lies to me. That's fantasy. My biggest fantasy is that some person just like comes into my life and sweeps me off my feet and all my problems go away and my self-esteem issues melt and I suddenly become like rich and famous. And in the big book, it says like, we found the great reality, reality being the opposite of fantasy, deep within us, deep within me and every person in this room is the fundamental idea of God. If you're new and you're hearing the word God and you're going, ew, gross, God's a one syllable word. It means a lot of things. For me, it means love. But not the kind that I think I'm addicted to. That's not love, by the way. That's limerence and fantasy and a bunch of other trauma, basically. Masquerading as love. But the idea of like agape, like unus mundus, like unity, right? The heartbeat of the universe. It's just easier for me to say God because it's one syllable. Thank you. And when I tap into that great reality deep within me, I'm able to make better decisions. I'll take the last couple of minutes to sort of share what it's like now. I worked the steps. I've worked the steps in this program in AA many times. I have sponsees, and I'm of service in a couple of meetings in both programs. And I try my best to live, breathe, eat, sleep, dream, and just really believe in this program. It hasn't failed me yet. The 12 steps are 12 really simple things that I really don't want to do, but when I do them, I feel so much better. I was engaged in this in sobriety. I was in a relationship for 3 years, was gonna get married to that person. We made a conscious decision to end the relationship and the engagement because we were just incompatible. And it was revealed slowly over the last like year of our relationship how deeply incompatible we were. And I don't wanna kill myself. And I know that that means that the universe has someone, something better and more compatible in store for me. I trust with a capital T that the universe is going to provide the blessings for me. They probably won't look like how I want them to, but usually what I want is not necessarily what I need. It's usually not the best thing for me. I want to feel euphoria all the time. I want to feel so good that all my problems are gone all the time. But actually what this program gives me is neutrality. It gives me a sense of like level, balance. Some days suck. Other days are amazing. But most days are kind of just, they just are. And that's amazing. I love to be grounded in that reality of like everything that is meant for me will not pass me by. That I hope that that helps somebody. If you're new, get a sponsor, get a book, get talk to fellows, get some phone numbers. If you hated my share, there are other meetings. Yeah, that's all I got. Thank you.